invite you to be seated. So there was a church that had their council meeting, and it was a time of the year where they had to review the budget, you know, for the next year that they would present to the congregation. And they got to the topic of the compensation for the pastor. And they decided, you know, this year we're just not going to be able to do it. So the president of that, the board, met up with the pastor after the meeting and said, you know, pastor, we're not going to be able to give you a raise for next year. And the pastor, you know, comes back and says, but why not? I need it. I am just but a poor preacher. And the president said back to him, he said, I know, we hear you every Sunday. Now, I'm not saying that's a true story, but it could be. So today, the theme of the week is giving. The focus is we are now on the fourth mark of a disciple as we go through this red letter challenge. And when we're talking about giving, we're not just talking about our financial giving. We're also talking about the way we give as a volunteer, the way we serve, and also when we give of our talents to the church. You know, for example, those that give of their musical ability here with our praise band. And so that's the theme. And so we're going to talk about how we give. And notice I didn't say how much we give. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. But the text that we're going to look at is in Luke chapter 21. And here's the first two verses. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more in than all of them. I read too far, but that's all right. So, a couple things. There's four things from these first two verses that I really wanted for you to understand as we get the context of this event that Jesus was a part of in the book of Luke here. So the first thing is that jumped out to me is Jesus looked up. Obvious question there, what is Jesus looking up from? Well, remember, when a rabbi, when a teacher would teach in the temple or a synagogue, they would take the posture of sitting. And Jesus, right after this, he said these words is when he sat down. And so just look at the first couple verses here before Luke 21, and here's what happened. And in the hearing of all the people, Jesus said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. And then we get to this event of the widow and her two small copper coins. It's almost as if Jesus knew what was about to happen, right? So he takes a seat and he looks up and is observing people coming through and putting their offerings in the boxes. And so this is a picture of Jerusalem in Jesus' time. And at the very top there in the middle is the Temple Mount. And that is where this would have taken place. And so as you can see, there is a high, it's on a mountain, remember? The temple is on the mount. And so up there is a temple. And here's a detailed look of the temple. And here's where this event took place. So you see right here, I just had to use the red laser now that I have one. Here in the women's courtyard is where Jesus would have done this teaching, and where Jesus would have done a lot of his teaching is in this area right here. And so all this area around here is where these treasury boxes would have been. And this is where the people were walking by, and Jesus was just watching them as they were putting their money into the box. And so a couple other things I wanted to point out from these two verses. It talks about, Jesus says, the rich people. Now, so there's always some misconceptions about this. It's not wrong to have a lot of money. It's not wrong to be rich. God has blessed some of us with a lot of financial stuff. The problem is when you move it up on your list to number one. And this is always based on a verse, you know, that, and money, by the way, is not bad. This verse gets most quoted in 1 Timothy, you know, a lot of times we'll say money is the root of all evil. That's not true. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And so now we get this poor widow and her two small copper coins. And so this widow is not only a widow, but she is poor with a capital P. How do we know this? We know this because of what she gives, and Jesus said it is all she had. So these two small copper coins that she threw in are sometimes called mites. Have you heard of that one before? M-I-T-E, mites. Now, in those days, a denarius is what somebody would get for a day's wage, like a laborer or anybody. They would receive a denarius. Well, it would take 16 of these mites to get a denarius. And this woman had two mites that she threw in to the offering box. And I showed you here on the map where those were located. And does anybody know what these offering boxes reminded me of as I read through this? Joy boxes. Okay, let's talk about that a second. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. The reason I wanted to do this is because there's a couple people that have approached me and asked me, what are joy boxes and why do people go woo whenever they're said? And the first time I was asked that, I said, you know what? I'm not sure. And so I did some digging. I did some research. So 7 or 8 years ago, my predecessor, Pastor Henry, did a sermon on giving and talked about giving. And this is the verse he talked about, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, which says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so sometimes that can be translated joyful. So hence the joy boxes. And he said, after you say that, you know, you got to be excited about it because God loves a cheerful giver, right? So hence the woo was born. Is that clear now? And so those are our offering plates. You know, most churches pass a plate around. Those are our offering plates for those that did not understand what those were. So let's go on here and read the next two verses. And, oh, I had it up on the screen for you. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's what it says on those boxes, by the way. So here's verses 3 and 4 of Luke 21. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. And so what's going on here? Jesus is using this widow and her offering as an example to teach his disciples, which also includes you and I. Those that follow Jesus are his disciples. So couple this passage with some of the other teachings that Jesus had, which, by the way, Jesus talks a lot about money in the Bible. A lot of the red letters, Jesus is talking about money. And so when we couple these things together, there's a couple things that stuck out to me that how we should not give. So the first thing is up on the screen, you should not give out of show or for pride. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. So one way to not give, you should not give out of show or for pride. Remember, when we talk about give, we're not just talking about our finances. We're talking about our time and our talents as well. It goes for all of these things. Second way, we should not give. You should not give out of a selected obedience. Let me explain here. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Jesus, again, more red letters from Jesus. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. So Jesus isn't condemning their tithing. You see, back then they were required to tithe not only their money, but also their produce and their garden stuff. And so he is talking about how the Pharisees and the scribes divide out their different spices, you know, to the perfect tithe. They are more focused on keeping the law, and they are neglecting showing love and compassion to their neighbor. So how does this look for us? In other words, we can faithfully give in the joy boxes or serve God in some way every week on a Sunday. And then Monday through Saturday, we decide which laws we want to obey. You know, we kind of pick and choose. Well, today I think I'll be a Christian in all areas. Tomorrow I don't really want to act like a Christian. It's that selective obedience. And you know, this always gets me to thinking, and it's always easy when we read these words of Jesus in the Bible, it's easy for us to pick on the Pharisees and the scribes. But let me ask you guys a couple questions here. Do you ever find yourselves giving for these reasons that I just mentioned? Do you take pride in how much you give? You know, why, look at me, I am such a great giver of this church. I definitely am giving more than that person over there. Or maybe, do you faithfully give every week to the joy box or serve the church? And then spend the rest of the week selectively deciding when we're going to obey God's law and when we're going to act like a follower of Christ. You know, if you can identify with any of this, you too are a hypocrite and a sinner and deserve nothing but God's judgment. But before you get mad at me for calling you a hypocrite, let me confess to you, I too, Scott Hedke, am guilty of this. I confess that there's times that I take pride in what I do. Man, I gave a pretty good sermon today. I had to have saved a lot of people. There are times I selectively obey. So let me tell you, I will be the first to stand in that line of being a hypocrite and a sinner, because you know what? I need a Savior. I need to be forgiven. I need Jesus in my life. I need God's mercy and forgiveness, just like each and every one of you. And so we talked about, these are the two main ways that we should not give according to the words of Jesus. We should not give out of pride. We should not give out of showing off. We should not give out of a selected obedience, like this is the one thing we're going to obey God in. So let's talk about how we might give. Again, notice, not how much we might give, but how we might give. And there's three ways, I think, that three things that we learn here from this widow in this event in Luke chapter 21. Sacrificially, this woman sacrificially gave. She had to have felt this to her core. Giving the only two mites, which isn't a lot of money in those days. It's like us having a few pennies. That had to have hurt. She had to have known, what am I going to do this week to survive? You know, God doesn't ask us to give anything that He hasn't already given to us. That's an important thing to remember in all this. And so, you know, the fact of the matter is when we get back to this giving thing, churches can't survive without offerings or joy boxes. That's pretty obvious. But when you give, you aren't giving to a church budget. Think of it as you are giving to the Lord. You know, that widow's mite, however small it might be, God would use that mite for His house, the temple at that time, where people can come and bring their sacrifices and praise God. It helped His house. Just like when you give, it's helping our building. And it reminds us that the Lord, who has blessed us with so many blessings, He has given us the forgiveness of sins. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us. We have the sacraments, baptism and communion here. We have been given that. Our faith is strengthened. There we go. Every time we partake. All these things that we have here in our church and that we do during our worship service all help to strengthen and nourish us as we are together with brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what you are giving to. And so when you give, not only of your money, but of your time and your talents, you are helping to make sure that we continue to proclaim the gospel, the good news of the gospel to everyone here at Promise. Letting people know and reminding us of what Jesus did for us. Because I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded all the time of what Jesus did for me and how much He loved me by shedding His blood on the cross for me. And so that's what we're all about here, is telling people that. The second thing this woman did, she gave trustingly. She was showing that she trusted in God to provide for her. She was giving up all of her money. And she trusted. And you know what? She probably remembered the words in the Old Testament when God said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And this is where we find the mercy and the forgiveness that we all need here. God's never going to forsake us. Let me read to you a passage here from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where it says this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich." You see, Jesus is the Son of God. He's been here from before the beginning of time. He's always been here. He's the King of the universe. He stepped out of heaven and became one of the created beings. This is significant. Jesus, the Son of God, was rich, stepped out of heaven onto this earth to become poor for our sake. And because Jesus did that, you know what? We are rich, aren't we? Amen. The third thing, joyfully. Don't know that for sure that she was joyful, because she was a sinner too, the widow. But God wants a joyful giver, a cheerful giver. And this brings us back to our joy boxes. And I wanted to read some verses that are after the verse I read that are on our joy boxes, starting in verse 12. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12. And I have them up there for you. For the ministry of this service here at Promise is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And I have that highlighted, because this inexpressible gift that we have been given is Jesus Christ, the crimson thread. Because you know I love the crimson thread. And as it weaves through the whole Bible, it ties the whole Bible together. It doesn't end at the Revelation. It continues on through each and every one of us saints here, through us brothers and sisters in Christ. This crimson thread flows through us. And when we are giving to the joy boxes or offering plates or whatever, the crimson thread is going to work through that as well. So it got me to thinking, maybe we should start calling them the crimson thread box. Because we, thank you. Because just like everything else, and what everything else that we do here is about, when we give, it's all about what Jesus gave us, which was his life on the cross, because he loved us that much. Amen. Will you please pray?